Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Good morning, Crossing Church. It's day three of lockdown in South Africa, and we have got a long way to go, but at the same time, God is speaking and encouraging us in many ways at this time. So I'd just like to get straight into the word this morning, and there's some wonderful things that I feel the Lord's been saying for us as a church. And, you know, the first thing we just need to understand is this, that you cannot box God. And if you think you can contain God and put him in a box, you're completely wrong. He's amazing. He's big. He is still being glorified by all creation right now. All the animals, all the mountains, all the seas, everything that has been created by him is still giving him glory. Even while this virus seems to be the focus of the world, all the angels are still worshiping Jesus, still worshiping God for his goodness and his kindness. So let me pray for us and then get right into it. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your amazing power. We thank you that you are risen from the dead. You are glorious in every way, and that you have a word for us, that you want to speak to us, oh God, that these physical circumstances, these things that we face on the earth today are very limiting in many ways, but nothing limits your spirit, nothing limits your power, nothing limits your love. And we want to thank you that you've broken in with that into our lives in a great way. And I pray this today, everybody watching this in the Crossing Church and anywhere else, may the love of God break into where you are right now. And I pray, Jesus, use these words, use these means for your glory in Jesus' name. Right, so we need to understand something about the kingdom of God. It cannot be contained. It cannot be quarantined. The message that I want to speak is the uncontainable church. And while it might seem that the church is contained behind the four walls of our homes at the moment, there's a reality to the fact that the Spirit of God is available everywhere all the time. Psalm 139 says, "Where can I escape from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle on the western limits, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you." Folk, this gospel, it cannot be isolated. Jesus said to preach it to all creation. The word of God, it can't be chained. It seems that even under duress, the word of God even thrives and produces even more. Duress or kind of trying to isolate the word of God only seems to produce a catalyst for more of its fire. The mission of God can't be thwarted. So every attempt to try and stop the mission of God turns out in favor of the mission of God. And so if the presence of God, the presence of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Kingdom of God, and the Gospel of God can't be stopped, slowed, isolated, quarantined in any way, and hasn't been for 6,000 years, then what does that say about the means, which is the church? The church is uncontainable. It can't be contained. The church and the love of the church, the kind of the bride of Christ on the earth, is infectious. The love of Christians is contagious. It's too influential. It's too redeeming. The nature of the church is like the yeast that Jesus speaks about in the parables. It just ends up working throughout the whole batch of the dough. It's like the smaller seed that becomes this great tree, and all the birds of the air can rest in the branches. And if you listen to what Jesus said about the church in Matthew chapter 16, this revelation comes to Peter after Jesus asked the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And it's a great question even for today. Where is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And so Simon Peter answers, he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that Peter, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church." I mean, Jesus is building his church. "And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." So there's no gate that overpowers the building of the church, because Jesus is doing it. Jesus is the living God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the revelation that's rock solid. And so if he is building his church, if we try to build it, we're going to battle. We're going to be frustrated by these events even. But Jesus said he will build his church. And at the same time, he calls us to partner with him. And this has been the theme of our series that we've been running through as a church, just to partner with power. If Jesus' church is so powerful, and the revelation of Jesus is so powerful, to partner with that revelation is to find ourselves partnering with power and to be in a very powerful state ourselves. The kingdom of God and the keys of the kingdom of God, Jesus says, have been given to us. And so if the keys of the kingdom have been given to us, then Jesus is willing to build the church and to reveal himself, but he's given us the keys. And we certainly need keys during lockdown. And there's honestly some things that we can lock down. Keys are for opening and for closing. And I tell you, if you were to lock out just spiritually the diseases and the things that are trying to come our way, God would partner with us in that. If we release the kingdom, if we release the message of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus, people are going to be influenced by that, infected by it, and it's a good thing. And so Jesus is alive, Jesus is advancing his kingdom, and he has all authority, and he's chosen to associate with us. He is asking us to take responsibility and to release his kingdom in the earth and to lock out everything that isn't of his kingdom. And the purpose of this, you'll find this in this passage, Jesus says to Simon, "You are blessed." And let me remind you, there's a question that I've asked you many, many times. Do you know how blessed you are? Blessing is not an antivirus. Blessing is not healing. Blessing is not the ability to run on the street or take your dog for a walk. Blessing is not being free of five people in a room that you're renting somewhere in a very difficult circumstance. I tell you, but blessing is a person, and his name is Jesus. You can have lockdown and have Jesus, and you couldn't be more blessed. You could have everything going well for you, but not have Jesus, you're not blessed. The blessing that God has intended for every person to know and to have is not money or fame or healing or anything like that. The blessing is Jesus. If you have him, blessing has a name. His name is Jesus. And so I want to get into the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 8, we see this uncontainable church, and we see people partnering with Jesus, who's the builder of the church, and this church starting to move powerfully forward. Acts chapter 8, just look at verse 1 to 8. It says, "The Saul agreed with putting him to death." In chapter 7, we learned of Stephen, who's just been martyred. "And on that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered through the land of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. So those who were scattered went on their way preaching the word. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said, as they listened and saw the signs that he was performing. For unclean spirits were crying out with a loud voice and came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, so that there was great joy in that city." I tell you, there's a danger that faces the church all the time. From the very beginning, as the church of Jesus Christ starts to kick off, you would find that there were people who would think of Christianity as a disease. Already there was a drive to try and cut out the Christians, to stop Christ 19. If we've got COVID-19 to deal with, Saul was like, we've got to get rid of these infected Christians. We have to isolate them. We have to quarantine them. We have to lock them down. And there's obviously deadly danger that is imminent for the church at this time. And there's a big problem with this Christ 19. And everybody's getting it. And everybody's loving it. And at the same time, there's this severe persecution and this just a danger that breaks out against the church. And that's, I would call, the anti-corona. Because, you know, there's one king and he's got one crown. And this crown is over all the earth. The King of Kings wears that crown and his name is Jesus. But then you'd have every kind of kingdom and everyone that would try to resist the crown. And so you've got this kind of anti-coronavirus, this anti-crown of the King Christ virus that is trying to set in and slow the Christians down. Christianity, well, let me just say this, the people of God are not unaccustomed to being isolated, to being locked down, and to being pressed in various ways. Right through the scripture, you'll have so many occasions where the people of God or individuals that God wants to use are isolated in some way. And I just want to quickly highlight that this is not a difficult thing for us to face. In fact, sometimes we would think that church, we've got to rise up because we can't allow this isolation to stop us. But actually, if we listen to our president, if we submit to perhaps what God's doing at this time, for us to slow down and to isolate, we might find that the kingdom of God prepared in us through this time would break forth powerfully in the times to come. If we do just take this moment to sit down, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to us, bring the kingdom into our homes, allow the kingdom of God to break in our marriages, among our children, through this intended time, and then see what God does beyond that. But I tell you, even now, the kingdom is not isolated. But it's interesting that even out of darkness, God says, let there be light in the beginning with creation. Adam is sleeping. He's isolated. He's the only one. He's the only man on the earth, and he's wondering if there's even a partner for him. So God puts him to bed, and out of him he creates Eve. Thank you, Lord, for that. Out of the isolation of the ark, and it's been wonderful to just, with my kids, talk about being isolated, you know, as Noah and his family were in the ark. So nothing different yet, and with all these animals protected from the dangers that were outside. And Noah is used to save the whole world. So from an isolation results salvation. Abraham is called out of his home into the isolation of being a kind of a wanderer, but yet at the same time, God shows him the stars of the heavens and the grains of sand on the shores and says to him, so will your offspring be, and you'll become a blessing to all the nations. It's Joseph who's thrown into a pit and eventually is in Potiphar's house, but then put in prison, being accused for something that wasn't his fault. And Joseph, from that form of isolation, ends up becoming the president of all of Egypt. And the end result is that the famine that was across the whole world at that time can come, and Israel and his family, who'd originally rejected Joseph, are now finding themselves being blessed and saved by Joseph. And so incredible things. Folk, perhaps this isolation is a testing time for you. It might be as testing as it was for Joseph when he was left in that prison, not knowing or wondering what would happen to the promises of God. But I tell you what, Joseph being tested was proven true, and God used him mightily. And perhaps this time of testing is just something that's going to prove us as strong and true for the kingdom that's to come. The Israelites are isolated in slavery, and the Lord eventually sets them free by making a way through the Red Sea, and God still makes a way for his people today. They seem to be isolated in the desert, but while isolated in the desert, God said, this is to set my people free, that they may worship me, that they may serve me. And it's in that place where God shows himself as a provider and as one who is everything they need. Moses spends 40 days. In fact, the word quarantine means 40 days. And so Moses is quarantined on the mountain with God for 40 days and then returns with the law, the holy and wonderful law of God. Elijah spends a time in isolation ahead of a revival through the remnants of Israel. You've got David, who's isolated in a cave and he's running from Saul, and God testing David's heart, eventually says, there's no one like David. He's a man, he's a king after my own heart. And Jesus is then eventually enthroned on the throne of David. Isn't that amazing? Nehemiah, Esther, Job, how many of these amazing prophets in the Old Testament were isolated, and through their fasting and through their turning to God has set up incredible examples for us, these cases that show us that God uses isolated events to change history. This is going to change history. This is an incredible time to be partnering with God to see what he's going to do in the world going forward. I tell you, there's revival coming, and these are end times. And while we don't need to get over preoccupied with the times and the dates, what we do need to be preoccupied with is with Jesus. And so all the prophets were isolated before God spoke. John the Baptist was isolated in the desert, eating locusts and honey, wearing camel hair, and eventually God uses him as the forerunner to Jesus, bringing Israel to repentance before Jesus comes. Jesus, again, he's in obscurity for 30 years before we see him break out in power. And even while he's operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, saving and revealing the love of God and the life of God to people, he is often in lonely places and spending time in prayer with his Father. Some scriptures to encourage you. Mark 1 verse 35. Jesus, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place. And there he was praying. So in the morning, you see Jesus praying in a deserted place. And Matthew 14, 23, after dismissing the crowds, he went up a mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. So yeah, you got Jesus in the evening, alone and praying. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, during those days, he went out to a mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. Again, yes, Jesus, all night long. So morning, night, all night. And then it says in Luke 5, verse 16, he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. I tell you, when Jesus says to us in Matthew 6 to go into our room and to shut the door and to pray to the Father in secret, your Father sees what is in secret and will reward you. That is the promise he makes. So if this is a time of isolation where we've seen that no one can be really noticed, but our prayers are noticed by God, and as we're praying in our homes, God is going to openly reward us for the prayers that we pray in this time of isolation. Jesus, isolated in prayer, results in powerful preaching, powerful miracles, powerful impartation to new leaders who God uses around the world. Jesus, isolated in a prison for that night before the Passover, which we're leading up to now, the isolated on the cross, isolated in the tomb, as a result, is the Savior of the whole world. I tell you, you isolate the church and you end up seeing the power of God come. The church is isolated after the resurrection of Jesus and after a time of united prayer in isolation. Pentecost is the day when the Spirit of God is poured out and the church is birthed with power. It's an incredible time. Paul tries to isolate the church and get saved as a result. Him and Silas are in a dungeon in Philippi, locked down in a dungeon. They begin to sing and praise God to the point where it says all their chains fell off and the chains of all the prisoners fell off. And the warden, who wanted to take his own life because he felt like his job is, you know, and his whole life is at stake because of all these prisoners being set free. Paul and Silas say to him, don't do anything, stop that. You need to be saved. Jesus loves you. And he says, what must I do to get saved? And he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, folk, while we lock down and while we worship in our lockdown place, please sing. Use this time to sing, and worship God. And I tell you, you'll start to see people being set free. Perhaps freedom from the coronavirus in so many outside of the prisons that we find ourselves in right now. Maybe our worship will result in them being set free. Maybe that's the antidote. So many wonderful. Even Paul at the end of the Bible, so many times the Bible speaks about that. He's in under house arrest, and yet the gospel is still proclaimed. The letters are still written, and the word of God is unhindered. Philippians 1 verse 12 to 13 says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Isn't that amazing? So isolation becomes this incredible catalyst for the people of God, and all it seems to do is make us stronger. Folk, this time of pruning, of not being able to do all the things that we need to do, will result in fruitfulness, and this is a promise from God. He's always with us. If you've been feeling depressed or down at this time, if you feel like there's no way out, just think about what Jesus prays from the cross in Psalm 22, when he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance? And from words of my groaning, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night I have no rest, but you are the holy, you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted and you rescued them. They cried to you and they were set free. They trusted in you and they were not disgraced. If you feel alone, Jesus felt alone, but then he remembered who was on the throne. And it's from there that God hears. He's done it before, he'll do it again and he'll do it for you. So the scattered church, I just want to highlight some things that have tried to contain the church at this time. And I've got four things that I want to touch on, and then I'll encourage you just to meditate on these things throughout the days to come. The first is that no magic power will ever contain the church. The second thing is that no money or lack thereof will ever contain the church. The third thing is that no misunderstandings will ever contain the church. And the last thing is that no map or no mathematics can contain the church. And I'll touch on those as we get through it. And so the first thing, as we read in Acts chapter 8, going forward from verse 9 to 13, a man named Simon had previously practiced sorcery in that city and amazed the Samaritan people while claiming to be somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least of them to the greatest, and they said, this man is called the great power of God. And they were attentive to him because he had amazed them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Even Simon himself believed, and after he was baptized, he followed Philip everywhere and was amazed as he observed the signs and great miracles that were being performed. The first thing I want to just highlight is that, you know, there's going to be some big noise that is going to happen during this season. There's a lot of people sending a lot of messages around. I've seen on a lot of groups, lots of people just posting different things. And there is actually a warning from the government at this time to be careful of what you post, because there is a lot of fake news. But at the same time, when you start to see these sensational things and these kind of megaphone type blurting out and boasting of new information and all this kind of stuff, it can cause us to lose our composure, because then we end up focusing on just the demonic attraction to the wrong things at this time. Stay away from it. Big noise and big boasting and big news and big sensationalism, all this kind of stuff is actually just designed to try and distract us from the truth. The reality is this: there's a superior power for every single one of us. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus is far more superior to the worst and most sensational kind of news you could ever find. The name of Jesus is even more sensational than that. The glory of God is even more powerful than that. So if there's anything that we should be stirred by, then anything that we should be boasting about is this wonderful cross of Jesus, the wonderful news of the kingdom, the wonderful things that he has done. I tell you, to run after Jesus, not be a new super drug or a new pseudo-savior, to run after Jesus, to see his signs, his wonders, his deliverances, his healings, his salvation, there is nothing like it. Anything else that tries to make itself great is absolutely dwarfed in the greatness of Jesus Christ and in his name. So we need to be a people who are completely unimpressed by the things that we hear and that are posted around. Because even like the Simon the Sorcerer, people gave their attention to him because he said he was something great and something magical and something wonderful. And it's so attractive to our ears sometimes. But I tell you what, let it be the word of God that attracts us more than anything right now. Let's keep our composure. In fact, lose your composure, but let it be for the sake of Jesus and his powerful, glorious gospel. No money, no lack thereof, will be able to contain the church. And so I want to just read on. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 25. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And after they went down there, they prayed for them so that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, because he had not yet come down on any of them. Remember, these are believers, so the Spirit was in them, but had not come upon them for the power to witness going forward. And so, in verse 16, they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power so that anyone I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter told him, "May your silver be destroyed with you, because you thought that you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter, because your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven you. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by wickedness. Pray to the Lord for me," Simon replied, "so that nothing of what you said may happen to me." And so after they testified and spoken the word of God, the word of the Lord, they traveled back to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. That's amazing. And Jesus said, "Go and preach this gospel. You shall receive power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is what's happening here. And so Simon believes the message of Philip. Simon gets baptized. Simon is amazed at the Spirit of God and the signs and wonders, and is following Philip and is following these things. I mean, you can imagine this man who before was involved in the occult and in magic and all these other kind of things is now realizing there's something which is so much more wonderful, that is changing people's lives, turning them around, making them completely different. And there are some shadows of pride in his heart, because though I believe he's saved, and this is the truth for any and for a lot of us, that we can be saved. But if we're not teachable, and if we're not allowing ourselves to be sanctified by the Word of God, some of the shadows of the things that we were involved in before we were saved can come to the fore, and many times will. And it's only through the Word of God and through those that can skillfully bring the Word of God to us that those areas that we once walked in can be challenged in our lives, and that we can change the way we do things. And so I tell you this, Simon, he's just after the fame again. He's like, I'll give you money for that, because this power, everybody's attracted to this power. I used to be the power that everyone was attracted to. Now I want this power. I want to lay my hands on people and they also can be filled with the Spirit. And he's actually just wanting to be noticed. He's actually just wanting to be the talk of the town. He's actually just wanting all the glory for himself. I tell you, many who try to be noticed in the kingdom are probably not going to see the kingdom advance through them. And this is not a time for us to try and be, you know, what everybody's attracted to. Let it be Jesus that people are attracted to. And we do believe in a nameless, faceless church. I mean, God might use the Crossing Church. We do want to use the social medias. We want to get things out there. But honestly, it's not about our name being the main thing. It's about Jesus Christ and about his glory. And I mean, how's Philip? Philip could easily have laid hands on those Samaritans himself. Philip was full of the Spirit. Philip was used by God powerfully under the Spirit in many ways. He was already casting out demons. He was already doing incredible things. Philip could easily have laid hands on the Samaritans for them to be filled with the Spirit. But Philip is a team person. He's in partnership with the apostles. He defers to others. When Peter and John come down, it's almost as if they get the glory, but they don't even want the glory. So it's amazing. Jesus gets the glory when you've got a church where people are not vying for the stage or for the place in everybody's Facebook feeds. I tell you, it's actually about Jesus Christ and him being glorified. And so when our motives, even if our motives are wrong, I tell you what, God can still advance his kingdom in a mighty, mighty way. And so we're not looking for profile, but we're looking that Jesus would be the one who gains all the profile. There's shadows of greed in Simon's heart. I mean, it's interesting that he sees this opportunity for return on investment. He says, "I'll give them money and they can give me this gift. And when I've got this gift, I'm going to get a lot more money." And so he's just got this whole magic and prosperity gospel thing going on in his head right there. And, you know, the disciples show that actually, from Peter's point of view, there could be a whole lot of money presented to him. He says, "Actually, I don't need the money." Jesus has already paid for everything. And the gift that Peter is giving is not a gift that can be paid for with money. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a gift to all who believe in Jesus. You know, some of us have it wrong by thinking that our spirituality has got to do with our money. Some people think that spirituality has got to do with having no money. And so there's this asceticism where it's like, we must be poor in order to be spiritual. That's not the truth. At the same time, there's the prosperity thinking, which kind of gives us this feeling of we must have money and we must have possessions. We must have all these things in order to be spiritual. I tell you, God can bless and God can take away. But being spiritual is a matter of being content when you've got a lot and being content when you've got a little. And now is a time for us who have to be a blessing with what we have, and those who don't have to be content and to trust God, and we can see God do amazing things. But I tell you what, the gift of God is for free. The Holy Spirit is available to you right there in your home, right now. Where you are watching this, where you are listening to this, I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you and empower you at this time. You need, and we need, the Holy Spirit more than ever at this time. And so be full of the Spirit of life who brings healing. Be full of the Spirit that brings change and blessing into your life right now. And so this misunderstandings that can try and contain the church. So many times the church has been, or churches have been so freaked out by false teachings. And I tell you what, even when there's false teaching, God can still do things to change the misunderstandings to bring about His kingdom. And it's interesting that here you have, going forward, this Ethiopian eunuch who is not understanding the scriptures, but you can see the purposes of God and the power of God to send someone to bring a clarity. And so the third thing, no misunderstanding will contain the church. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 35, an angel of the Lord speaks to Philip. Get up and go south to the road that goes down to Jerusalem, the Gaza. This is the desert road. And so he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, a high official of Candace. And this is a political leader. The queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home. So he's come to Jerusalem. He's come to worship. He's in his chariot on the way home, and he's reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. Doesn't say anything else. When Philip ran up to it, the immediacy with which Philip obeys the Spirit of God, he ran up to it, and then he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone guides me. So already you've got this man who's come to Jerusalem. How many people have come to church and yet walk away with misunderstanding? He's opened up the scroll of Isaiah and he's reading the scriptures, but he's still not understanding. And he says, how can I unless somebody guide me? And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And now the scripture passage he was reading was this is in Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as his lamb is silent before its shearers, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about himself or someone else? And Philip proceeded to tell the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. You know, to be a guide to people who have misunderstandings, you need to be guided yourself. And this is important. I tell you, Philip is a good guide because he is learned to follow the Holy Spirit. Can you learn to follow even the whispers of the Holy Spirit? Listening to the voice of Jesus, listening to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. If you are willing to obey the Spirit of God, and I'll tell you, the immediacy with which Philip responds is astounding. If you can listen to the Spirit of God and be sensitive to the Spirit of God, you'll start to become an incredible guide to people and would dispel a lot of misunderstanding. The second thing he learned was the scriptures. How is it that this man, he could hear him reading Isaiah and knew exactly what it was pointing to and what it was referring to? And so he learned the scriptures. And so for us too, we need to be a people who are not just learning to listen to the voice of the Spirit, but are learning the scriptures. Over these 20 days, have a Bible reading. I tell you, Sharissa and I have been so blessed over these 3 days through reading the scriptures and how God has been speaking to us specifically about things that are going on just by reading through a devotional. And a guide to the scriptures. So we're looking at a chapter a day almost, sometimes a bit more, and we're seeing incredible things that the Lord is saying to us. And so learn the scriptures. And then the third thing he learned, Philip learned this, that it's all about Jesus. And so when the eunuch is saying, who is this about? He's looking at an Old Testament scripture in Isaiah, and Philip can say to him, it's actually all about Jesus. It's not about end times. It's not about Jerusalem. It's not about this or that, or all these kind of things that we all make it about. It's not about a doctrine. It's not about a kind of a way of doing things, the principles for living a godly life. It's all about Jesus. And so the good news of Jesus is able to bring Philip to the point where he understands not just who Jesus is, but what to do, and gets baptized. And it's an incredible thing. It goes on to say this in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to wrap up. Verse 36 to 40. And they were traveling down the road, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And so he ordered the chariot to stop. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way, rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in the towns until he came to Caesarea. You know, what I see in this, there's no mathematics, there's no map, there's no nothing that can contain the church and the Spirit of God. I tell you, the resourcefulness represented in this passage is amazing. Is there water? Yes. Can we do what God's asked us to do? Yes. Can we get baptized? Absolutely. There's no mathematical, scientific, or any kind of restriction, and for us to have any excuse from obeying Jesus and doing what he wants us to do. There's a radical living here that I want to encourage for us in this time going forward. Can you imagine the experience of the eunuch? He's just been to Jerusalem. He's in his chariot. He's a little bit confused. He's reading Isaiah. He's a little bit confused. He's obviously hungry for something more. He's reading a scripture. The next thing, there's a man standing next to his chariot. And this man says to him, an angel that sent him, and answers the very question he has in his heart with regards to a scripture. He's talking to him all about this man called Jesus. The next thing, they're getting baptized, they see water, and as he comes up out of the water, this man who's done this for him disappears from his sight. He wonders about all these things, has got Jesus in his life, and then goes down the road worshipping. Can you imagine what it must have been like for this Ethiopian eunuch to get home to the queen of Ethiopia, Candace, and to tell her the story? Perhaps all of Africa and the spiritualism that is around Africa kind of took off from this guy's preaching. He would have shown them Jesus, but his very account, his very experience of Jesus was scripture, power, and just incredible things. And so I believe for the African continent, we should not push away the powerful things we see in the spirit. But at the same time, we need to press into the scriptures and find Jesus clearly portrayed there. And so the supernatural life is very real to Philip, very real to the eunuch in this kind of engagement with Philip and with Jesus and the Spirit of God. And I do believe that the supernatural realm supersedes every limiting factor in our natural realm. You might feel limited at this time. I tell you what, the spiritual and supernatural realm is unlimited, and there's so much access to the things of God. Can you imagine these people in Azotus? This is very interesting, and I want to end with this. Azotus means stronghold, almost locked down. And there's a people that are locked down in this town and wondering perhaps about what's going on. And all of a sudden, Philip appears to them, and Philip starts sharing the gospel and the good news about Jesus Christ. And once again, those who are locked down have got this uncontainable church through Philip and through the gospel which is preached. In the name of Jesus, come to them where before it possibly was impossible. And I believe there are many people that are locked down in strongholds today, but the kingdom of God can still come to them. Jesus can still come to them in a mighty way. And so lockdown is no limit to the gospel, and there's no limit. No virus, no persecution, no money or lack thereof, no magic, no boasts, no misunderstandings, no geography, no scientific thing. No, nothing can limit the glory and the goodness of Jesus in the gospel. And so I want to encourage you to meditate on these things. going forward. If you have felt limited by your life, by sin, by just the guilt that you feel, I pray that you would experience the freedom that comes through putting your life in the hands of the unlimited Jesus, that he would show you his glory. If there's anyone who's had bitterness and guile in their lives, like that Simon, would you repent and turn from every other way of doing things and turn to Jesus? He is your Savior. He loves you, and he wants to do incredible things through you. Where you are right now, all of heaven can break in on your life, and he loves you very much. And as a church, folk, let us continue to live in an atmosphere where we're not isolated by any of the things that are going on around us. And let's continue to see the kingdom of God mushroom from us, see the word of God, see the power of God manifest in and through our lives in a real and wonderful way. And we just trust God that you would have a good time with and in God's presence through this quarantine. And when we come out of it, there will be revival available for this world. I tell you, more and more people are going to be crying out for something, for a savior. And the church is uncontainable. We've got to reach them. And it's a wonderful thing. So Father, I want to just thank you right now for your hand upon your church, upon your people, upon everyone who hears your word. Lord, that you would set people free. As bound as they think they are, Lord God, you're the one who brings release and brings freedom. And so Jesus, let your name go forth powerfully through all the earth, even now, your salvation, your kindness, your freedom to everybody that needs it, no matter where they are. And we pray this, that the virus that is affecting this whole world would bow to the crown of Jesus. We thank you for healing and supernatural power just released everywhere that it's required. And God, we trust you that your name would be exalted. You would do amazing things for us as a church. Let your glory and your kingdom advance without hindrance. You are unchained, uncontained. And God, so are your people. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys.